Hey there, it's a Sunday morning. We're still in the morning hours here on the Bernie Miklas Show. My YouTube channel doing well, but couldn't use more subscribers because I'm greedy. We always want more subscribers. No, thank you very much for your support of this channel. And I enjoy doing these videos for you. So please feel free to leave some comments. Before I get started today, we're going to talk about Nolan Arenado and the fact that it's been reported that the Astros are very much interested in him. I want to preface all of this, of course, by saying, obviously, I don't know what time each and every one of you will actually get to this video. So keep in mind, I'm recording this while the speculation is still very much swirling. But by the time you see the video, who knows when that will be? Perhaps Nolan Arenado would have been traded to the Astros, or maybe the trade talks had collapsed. So I just wanted to make sure you know this, because if you click on a video later and say, what is this fool talking about Arenado and the Astros? I mean, they already made the trade. Or why is this moron talking about Arenado going to the Astros? That those talks collapsed. Timing is everything, my friends. But I think there's still some time to talk this over because I find it very, very intriguing. First of all, congratulations to my Naval Academy midshipman, 31-13, beat Army yesterday. Good reversal because Army had won 6 of the last 8. So that was quite a beatdown, though. I was really surprised by it, to be honest with you. Anyway, I will not sing Anchors Away, however. I will spare you of that, okay? Wouldn't do that to you. I could hum it, I guess. All right, let's get busy. Over the weekend, the Athletic baseball writer Chandler Rome, who covers the Astros, offered this bulletin. It like popped up on Saturday morning, and it was kind of a, whoa, that's interesting. Let me read you, in case you missed it, what Chandler Rome wrote. Let's go to the heart of the matter of what he reported. Quote, and perhaps the clearest sign the organization is moving on from third baseman Alex Bregman, the Houston Astros have emerged as a serious suitor for the St. Louis Cardinals third baseman Nolan Arenado, multiple league sources told The Athletic on Saturday. Now, Chandler Rome, as he should have, was quick to add nothing is imminent. But again, the interest appears to be serious. And that's all we have to go on as I sit here at 11:30 on Sunday morning talking to you. Let's get into this because I got a lot of thoughts and I'm going to try to be concise. My video Friday was too much rambling. I was tired. I was just kind of like not mentally glued in and I was all over the place. Thank you for all of you who watched it and for putting up with me. Anyway, the Astros aren't on Arenado's list of acceptable trade destinations. But think about it. Why in the heck wouldn't he go there? The Astros have made the playoffs for 8 consecutive seasons, and I know that they've lost some talent. We'll get into that later. But their home ballpark also sets up nicely for Arenado's poolside power. Why wouldn't Arenado want to just dig in the batter's box at Minute Maid Park and take aim at those Crawford boxes in left field? You know, Cardinals fans remember back when the Astros were in the same division, Cardinals playing all those games in Houston, including postseason games, and those Crawford boxes, man, if you love it. If your right-handed hitters get to take aim at it, you didn't like it. If the Astros right-handed hitters got to take aim at it, 315 feet only down the left field line from home plate, 315 feet. Think about this factual nugget, if you will. And again, we know that Arenado has lost some power gradually in St. Louis. He bottomed out last year, slugged under 400, had 16 home runs. Still, the Crawford boxes could help him regain some of that power. It could lead to him putting up better numbers to an extent anyway. So anyway, think about this factual nugget. Arenado, as a Cardinal, has hit 106 home runs, okay? Of the 106 home runs, 100 of the 106 have come on pulled fly balls or line drives to left field. In other words, this is a swing that is tailor-made for the Crawford boxes in Houston. It would increase his home run total to some extent, but let me preemptively offer this. because I've talked a lot about Arenado and some of the things that have gone wrong for him, and it would explain his decrease in power numbers. And one of the things is he has not pulled the ball in the air as much to left field as he has in the past. And it really kind of dropped last season, and that explained a lot. But if there is a way that Arenado saying, hey, you know, Crawford boxes, man, that stuff looks good out there. I'm going to have to tee off. So how can I get my best possible swing to fit that ballpark? Got to pull the ball in the air more frequently. I don't think he's incapable of that. There's questions, but put it to you this way. Of all the places he could go to, all the places that are on his list, and I'm dead serious about this because I've looked up some of the data, Houston's Minute Maid Park would be the best ballpark for him to hit in. It just would, because of the relatively easy home run down the left field line. It's up to Arenado to rework his swing, if that's the word, to take full advantage of that. So he'd have to fine-tune it. And the way he likes to work on his swing, I mean, he's constantly fiddling around with it. He could come up with something, I think, to get those balls in the air more to left field. All right. So why wouldn't he want to go to Houston? Why, like, if the Cardinals and the Astros can agree, and I have no idea what the Cardinals are going to get. Don't know. You know, I'm not going to sit here and do that. I have no idea. A lot of it would depend, I would think, on the amount of money that the Cardinals are willing to send to the Astros to defray the cost of Arenado's remaining contract. But I got a lot of stuff on the financials on this. All right. So why would Arenado not want to go to Houston with the ballpark that's made for his swing? Two things I can think of. Number one, Arenado has concerns over Houston's status going forward. He wanted to become a Cardinal because he believed the Cardinals would have a great shot to be in the postseason basically every season. First two seasons, he made it to the playoffs with the Cardinals. The last two seasons, no. Cardinals weren't close in either season. I don't have to tell you that. Now, the Astros aren't as loaded. They aren't as formidable in terms of their pure talent offensively, and even their rotations frayed a little bit. Compared to what we've seen in the past, they're not the same powerhouse, but they're still really good, and they still have a lot of really good players on the team. They truly do. So that's one reason. Maybe he's like, well, am I going to enter kind of another St. Louis situation where I'm expecting to be a member of a playoff team year after year after year? If I go to Houston, are they going to like start to drop? I mean, it's a legitimate thing for him to wonder about, so that's why I just threw that out there. Number two, perhaps Arenado and his agent, Joel Wolf, believe it's still quite possible for him to land in one of the places on his list. Philadelphia, Boston, New York Mets, San Diego. And if the reports are still firm about Arenado having the Angels on his list, then he's wasting everyone's time, because his agent went bananas the other day in the winter meetings talking about, no, most important thing, it's not geography. No. It's not geography, even though Arenado had three SoCal teams on his list, Angels, Dodgers, and Padres. But it's not about geography. It's about winning. Well, why are the Angels on the list then again, huh? Not geography. I know that's his – he was born and raised in Newport Beach. I know that's in Orange County. That's nowhere – I know that's where the Angels are. But if it's not about geography, it's not about that. It's not about wanting to be close to home. It's about the winning. Well, why would you want to go to the Anaheim Angels? They haven't had a winning season since 2015. They've made the playoffs one time since 2010. And even then, that one playoff appearance ended in a sweep by the Kansas City Royals in 2014. So Arenado says he wants to win, and if it's really all about that, it's preposterous that he even has the Angels on his list. And despite Houston having some roster concerns that I've alluded to, and they just traded Kyle Tucker, although there was a reason for that, and that doesn't disqualify the Astros from being really good again in 2025. This is an organization that has made the playoffs in 9 of the last 10 seasons, including the last 8 years in a row. Since 2017, covering the last 8 seasons, the Astros rank, they lead the American League in wins and rank second to the Dodgers in wins in the majors. They have won four American League pennants, two World Series. They, since 2017, they lead the majors in postseason games, the number of them played in. They've played in the most, and they also have the most postseason victories, a few more than the Dodgers. And there's still plenty of talent left on this team. If you look at it, even after, you know, Kyle Tucker was traded to the Cubs, you have, you know, Yordan Alvarez is still there. Altuve's not going anywhere. They got Isaac Paredes from the Cubs. More on him later. Their young catcher, Diaz, is fantastic. They have Jeremy Pena, Chaz McCormick. They still have Josh Hader, Framber Valdez. They deny reports that they're thinking about trading him. Other starting pitchers like Blanco, Garcia, Hunter Brown, Arrigetti. And I'm not going over their whole roster, but my point is you still have a pretty potent lineup there. And getting Paredes in that deal with the Cubs should help, because we'll get to his position in a minute. But it could help because Paredes is a straight-up pull hitter. Loves to just jack home runs to left field. So that ballpark suits him very, very well, and he should be able to produce a lot of power for the Astros, especially at home. So there's enough. Listen, the American League West isn't a powerhouse. I know the Texas Rangers are going to be reloading and all this stuff. They'll probably be better than they were last year. And, you know, Seattle's a fringe contender. They're not bad, but they're not great. And you have a couple of lost cause franchises in there in the A's and the Angels. So I could see them making the playoffs for the next couple of years. And so that's one of the reasons why, you know, Arenado's concerns should be at least somewhat alleviated. But he's entitled to his own feelings about whether he trusts that situation in Houston. Also, the key player in the deal with the Cubs for Tucker was they got third baseman Cam Smith. Now, I call him a third baseman, but upon doing further research, most major league scouts or scouts that have talked to the talent evaluators think that his ultimate destination would be more in a corner outfield spot or maybe first base down the road. Although Michael Busch, the Cubs, let me back up. I don't know what brought the Cubs into that. But Cam Smith could wind up at first base for the Astros down the road, or third base for the Astros down the road, or out in right field, let's say, or left field, because of his arm, be better for left. He could end up being there relatively soon, but he's not ready yet because he was the 14th overall pick by the Cubs in the 2024 Major League Draft. Not quite ready for the majors. So let's talk about this. Why would the Astros prefer Arenado over Alex Bregman? Bregman is their longtime third baseman, a big part of their winning ways. He is a free agent, as most of you know. So why let him leave? Why not just keep him? Well, it comes down to money. According to a lot of media reports, Bregman rejected Houston's most recent offer that seems like a final offer, because they made, after he rejected 6 years for $156 million, after he said no to that, because some other teams are still pitching for him, that's when Houston said, well, you know, we really like Isaac Paredes. Let's go get him. He can play third base for us. And then from what I understand, Jeff Bagwell had another idea. You know, Jeff Bagwell, the Hall of Fame player who had a great career in Houston. He now works for the Astros owner, Jim Crane, and has become a very influential advisor. And talking to some of my peoples in Houston, they say, well, you know, Bagwell's a big Arenado fan because of his defense and because they need to just make sure they have a really good third baseman going forward, because there's a lot of pulled balls at Minute Maid Park because everyone's trying to hit one down the line, you know, easy target in left field. So Bagwell reportedly is encouraging Crane to make this move for Arenado. And then that would explain, okay, that's part of the reason, because Crane listens to Jeff Bagwell. But it comes down to money. Like I said, that if he, you know, as has been reported in widespread ways, 6 years and $156 million, he said no. Well, his camp obviously thinks he can do better than that on the open market. There are several potential suitors are still pursuing him, including the Yankees, Tigers, Red Sox, possibly the Phillies. You say, well, why Tigers? Tigers got a good young team, man. They're ready to win. And Bregman could reunite with the manager he had in Houston, A.J. Hinch, who is now in Motown. But here's the deal, and this is a key thing to remember. And again, we have to assume that this is, you know, at least in the ballpark for accuracy. It's not my reporting, but it's been reported in quite a few places. Bregman is seeking a 7-year contract for at least $200 million. Well, we know the Astros aren't going to do that. So now it was time to think about, okay, what's the plan B? They got Paredes. He doesn't have to play third base. More on that in a moment. If you subtract the $10 million that the Rockies are putting in to cover Arenado's salaries over the next 2 seasons, and then the third season is only a $15 million salary, so it's not like that's, oh, well, we can't afford that. But if you subtract $10 million from the $74 million that is currently going to go his way over the next 3 seasons, if you subtract that, that leaves $64 million over the 3 remaining years through the end of the 2027 season. That's an annual average of $21.3 million, which is not outrageous given Arenado's defensive value and his potential to do more damage if he's wearing a Houston Astros uniform and he's hitting at Minute Maid. But the thing of it is, I think we all expect that the Cardinals will chip in some money if in a deal like this, and the Astros are asking, according to Chandler Rome's reporting, the Astros are asking him, asking the Cardinals to chip in some money. We don't know how much. We don't know how much. But, you know, if you think about this, okay, the Rockies' contribution brings down the commitment to Arenado to $64 million. If the Cardinals chip in $10 million, then it's down to $54 million. If they chip in $15 million, let's say, then it's down to $47 million. And, you know, $47 million for 3 years of Arenado playing that excellent defense at third base, I mean, that's very workable for a team like the Astros. That's not going to, like, you know, that's not going to, like, turn their salary scale upside down. That's an affordable contract if the Cardinals would go $10 to $15 million, or it's more affordable, certainly. So why would they want Arenado at third base? Well, again, we talk about it. It seems like they're done with Bregman. And even if Bregman had accepted their offer, that still would have been $26 million a year on average. And when they went and got Paredes, that changed everything. Again, I'm repeating myself, but they signaled to everyone, no, we're moving on from Bregman. You know, that was our best offer. So Arenado's willing, obviously, to play first base, but that isn't why they would get him. As I've explained, you know, they want his defense at third base. It's like, well, wait a minute. Paredes is the third baseman, the guy they got from the Cubs and the Tucker deal. If you look at Baseball Reference, you'll find this out. You know, Paredes has actually played first base. I mean, it's not been his full-time position, but he's played there. He has experience there. And I came across this while you know, going back last summer, before the Cubs got Isaac Paredes from Tampa Bay, the Astros finished second in the bidding for Paredes, and the Cubs got him. And look, they flipped him. They made a smart move. They flipped him to get, you know, Kyle Tucker. And perhaps this was something they envisioned. Hey, we can always flip him. Anyway, when the Astros finished second to the Cubs in the bidding for this player last summer, it was reported at the time by people who cover the Astros that their plan was to put Paredes at first base, where the Jose Abreu thing didn't work out. So they were going to put him at first. They thought he could handle it just fine. And I would assume they'd feel the same way. If you get Arenado, well, he's your third baseman. You want the defense down there, and you put Paredes at first. So, you know, it's not, you got to eliminate this idea that somehow, well, they already have a third base. No, they don't, because their third baseman can play first. Arenado is willing to play first, but his much better defensive value is at third base. You kind of be wasting him at first base. So let's go back to the financials here a little bit. Houston's reported offer would run through the 2030 season, which adds potential liability if the contract goes bad due to Bregman's age. He'd be 35 and 36 in the final years of a six-year deal. We're just talking hypothetically 6 years instead of seven. He may get seven elsewhere. This is not about average annual value. It's more about the length of the contract and the risk factor, Bregman relative to Arenado, but also relative to the money that you're committed to paying each of these guys. The total outlay, as I've explained, but let's go over it again. The total outlay, when you subtract what Colorado's already going to pay to defray the cost, is $64 million. That's $92 million less than what the Astros would have had paid Bregman if he accepted their pitch. So, you know, you can have Arenado playing third base for you at $64 million over the next 3 years, but I think it'll be less for reasons I already mentioned. The Cardinals sending some money to Houston. And even if they put him there and didn't get money from St. Louis, it's $92 million less than what they were willing to pay Bregman before he rejected the deal. And as we said, let's do it again. So if the Cardinals chip in some money, you know, $10 million, they would get down the Astros' obligation to Arenado. $54 million, $15 million. Then it's down. The Astros would owe Arenado $47 million. That averages to $15.6 million a year, and that makes sense for the Astros. I mean, I didn't do the math on this, but you can help me out and do it in your head, so I don't have to like do it here as I'm recording this. But if you look at what they offered him, you know what they offered him, and I said it was $92 million. Less than what they would pay the full rate on Arenado. You take $92 million and say the Cardinals give the Astros $15 million, then the commitment to Arenado would be, let me see, 92 plus 15, it would be $107 million less that they would be $107 million less in terms of their commitment to Arenado, as opposed to a commitment on the reported 6 year terms on a contract for Bregman that he, of course, rejected. That's a lot of money saved. And you can put that money to good work to shore up some other areas of your club. If the Arenado contract doesn't age well, the Astros or another team, whoever acquires him, if the Arenado contract doesn't age well, listen, you only got to worry about it 3 years at the most, tops. And of course, he brings you that defense. And if he's in the right ballpark, he can probably hit more home runs. But if Bregman's contract ages poorly, and let's assume that it's a six-year deal, but it could be seven. If his contract ages poorly, his team would have to be concerned about what that contract is going to look like several seasons from now. See, people don't want to, like, it doesn't occur to people, a lot of people, or too, maybe not enough people, that from a financial standpoint, given how much money and how long the contract would be for a Bregman, Arenado actually represents really good value because of the limited liability and the smaller salary. Arenado is in decline, especially on offense. We've all know that. We've seen it, and I've written about it, and I've given you all the numbers here on the Bernie Channel. But Bregman also seems to be heading that way himself. And you're going to say, what? He's 3 years younger than Arenado. I know he is. I know. Let the big man finish. Shall I? Thank you. I'm only kidding. Why do I say that Bregman is showing some signs of decline? Well, you know, Mr. Research here. He'll be 31 in March, which is right around the time that Arenado turns 34. So there is a three-year difference. But again, you have to think about this in terms of a six-year deal as opposed to a six- or seven-year deal as opposed to a three-year commitment for Arenado. It changes the math, and it changes the potential liability of a steep decline, right? Because the contract's half as much as what the Astros would have given Alex Bregman to stay if he had wanted it. Over the last three seasons, here's what we're talking about, some of the numbers in the potential decline. It's already starting. It just hasn't been as dramatic as the decline we've seen with Arenado. But over the last three seasons, Bregman's adjusted OPS, it's adjusted for ballpark and league effects, has gone from 34% above the league average to 22% above the league average in 20. Let me do this again. 34% above league average back in 2022, 22% above the league average in 2023, and down to 18% above the league average offensively last season. So his offense performance over this three-year period, going by OPS plus, which to me is more accurate than OPS, it's dropped by 16% over the last three seasons. Now, even though he's hit great on the road, he's still not going to have the Minute Maid Park to provide comfort if he starts to lose even more of his swing or more of his offense, I should say. But if you want to go by OPS, in the last three seasons, his OPS has gone from 820 to 768. Come on. There is a decline taking place with Bregman, even though he is younger than Arenado. If you go by Bregman's three-year trend for the baseball reference version of wins above replacement, it's called OWAR, as an offensive WAR. It was 5.1 WAR, 5.1 wins offensively above replacement in 2022. Then it dropped in 2023, went from 5.1 to 4.3. And then last year, it went, compared to 2023, it went down to 3.5 offensive WAR in 2024. So I'm going to do this while I'm recording it. So if you want to look at it this way, over the last 3 years, Bregman has lost about 1.6, 1.7 offensive wins above replacement. So the arrow's pointing down on him. And here's an interesting thing, and I'm going to switch to Fangraphs here for this because, to me, it gives me a better look. Based on each player's total wins above replacement last season, Bregman ranked third among Major League third basemen with 4.1 wins above replacement. But Arenado, contrary to what we would assume, including me, right, before I looked it up, did the research, Arenado wasn't that far behind last year. He ranked sixth among Major League third basemen with 3.4 wins above replacement. So the difference between them, at least in 2024, I'm just presenting one little factoid, the difference between them was less than a run in terms of wins above replacement. Less than a win, I should say. Less than a win in terms of wins above replacement. So the gap would widen, obviously, if Arenado's offense continues to dwindle over the next couple of seasons. But there's a chance that Bregman would also continue, his offense would continue to go the wrong way, maybe not to the extent of the harshness that we're seeing or we have seen with Arenado. But again, the question isn't about whether Arenado is showing a steeper decline than Bregman or that he's 3 years older than Bregman. But if you're the Astros and you want to keep winning, you need to make some adjustments about how you're spending money. And again, at the most, the Astros would pay Arenado $64 million over 3 years, at most. But it's most likely to come down $10 million, $15 million below that. That's still better than being on the hook to Bregman for $156 million guaranteed. And we'll see what Bregman gets elsewhere. But if you look about this, Arenado's value over three seasons without the liability of a much longer contract, this is all about evaluating the difference of committing three more seasons to Arenado at a reduced salary compared to taking on six or even seven more years of Bregman's salaries. So please understand the point. You know, that's why I've gone over it a couple times. Another thing about this, even if it doesn't work out, the Cardinals may be getting some leverage here. This is, again, in theory. I have nothing to go on, but there's a lot of increased chatter about Arenado and the Astros, so that can move things around a little bit. Teams that were talking to the Cardinals about Arenado could increase their trade offer because they want to get him before he consents to a trade with Houston. Again, this is all theoretical. So I'm waiting to see if the Astros and the Cardinals and Arenado can all agree on a deal that puts him in Houston. It's a logical outcome, but even, and it doesn't mean that it'll happen, or it could happen, and that's why I go back to what I said at the very, very top. By the time you see this, we may have had the answer, but as I record this, we do not have that answer. We should know more soon, but I find it really, really interesting. And anyway, that's what I got today. Tomorrow, among the things I'll be doing video-wise with you is talking about the Cubs and Kyle Tucker and what does that mean about the Cubs. I'll just leave you with this. The Cubs are going for it in 2025. They get Kyle Tucker. They have still a really impressive number of elite prospects they can trade to improve their team and fill in some of the gaps. Cody Bellinger probably will be traded maybe to the Yankees. Tucker's going to be in right field. I think in my rush to get something done the other night, I said, you know, center fielder. I don't know why I said that. Like I told you, that was not one of my better videos in terms of being organized, but at least I feel like I should be honest to tell you that. It had a lot of good stuff in there, but I was kind of haywire. What else is new, right? But the Cubs, you say, well, they have some holes. Yep, we'll talk about that Monday, because those holes can be closed by offering prospects for trades, which is exactly what they did to get Kyle Tucker from Houston. Listen, you all have a pleasant Sunday. I'll be back tomorrow, and I'll say this. If something breaks with the Arenado thing today, it's major, I might come back and hit you up again later in the day for an update. So thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.